Hey everybody, it's Jake, and I am alone in the basement. All right, for this week, we're going to be talking to someone from the Central New York, upstate New York, Massachusetts scene. He's actually spreading out. Also a member of the Heartstrong Gumi family, Denim Kovic. This is a young dude that I am completely, I'm stumbling over words bad. You can tell it's been a while since I've been doing podcasts. But he's a dude I really enjoy, both in and out of the ring. He's just a great dude and an amazing talent with so much potential to do such great things. So I'm really excited to be talking to him tonight and kind of have him tell his story to all you guys. And hopefully you can check him out on all the places you can find him. So you know the deal by now. Just stick around in like 2 seconds when this transition's over. We'll be talking to Denim Kovic. All right, we're back, and we're with Denim Kovic. Again, thank you so much for doing this, man. I really appreciate you taking some time out of your evening to spend with me.
Thank you for having me on. It's exciting.
Yeah? Is this your first one?
Yes.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
So we'll start with probably the question you've been asked a million times now at this point. How'd you get into wrestling? And do you remember if there was anything specific that made you know you had to keep watching this?
Right. Like, trying to, like, go back in the timeline of my mind. I think, like, I got into wrestling because people that, like, I knew were always into it, but I never, like, found it myself first or anything. But I know my earliest memory of watching wrestling is probably watching it, Raw. You know how Raw used to replay on Saturday nights at, like, 3 in the morning?
Yes.
I think one time I was clicking through that late and I like found Raw and I was like, I need to like find out when this is live and everything. And that's how I kind of got into it. But people have always like told me about it and like tried to update me on stuff, but I just wasn't like a fan at that time. But getting into it myself, like watching it like that, the replays, it got me into it like around like 2005 or 6.
Okay, so you were getting into it when I was graduating high school.
All right.
You were telling me on Sunday when we were at the NYCW show that your parents from Bosnia and then immigrated here?
Yes, my parents are from Bosnia and then they immigrated here and then I was actually born in the U.S.
Okay. Now, because I'm sure, pro wrestling wasn't really, at least I don't think it's a thing in that part of Europe.
Right, no, my parents aren't, like, they weren't, like, big fans of wrestling or anything, so that's why I didn't, like get it through, like, my cousins or anything. I got it through people that I met, like, that were from here and everything.
Yeah, because I get, it's like when I was talking to Masha, like, in certain parts of, like, Southern and Eastern Europe, wrestling really didn't come in until late 80s or early 90s.
Mm-hmm.
So, I can imagine for, you know, your family, this has been a little bit of a culture shock.
Right, yeah.
Now, when you were watching, who were some of your favorites, like, right off the bat?
I remember, I think, like, around that time was, like, Eddie Guerrero was still around, so I remember watching Eddie. Edge, I really liked Carlito.
Okay.
Like, the gimmick just appealed to me as a kid. It was just funny and everything. Yeah, and then, like, over time, like, I still like those guys, and then, So, like, just when you start studying wrestling, it's a little bit different when you're just a casual fan.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a little different. Now I love to watch, like, Dean Malenko. I really like Sasha Banks. Those are just, like, a couple people off the top of my head. Shawn Michaels has always been a favorite of mine.
Yeah, and yeah. Your trainers are definitely people that kind of, you know, are knowledgeable in pretty much every era of wrestling.
Oh, yes. ISIS will always give us, like, matches of the week to watch, and it's always good for me that where I started watching wrestling in the mid-2000s to watch earlier wrestling and decades beyond.
Oh, yeah, I can only imagine the stuff he's telling you to watch, like, probably some Portland 77 or something like that. He's always good for knowing great territory stuff and great Japanese classics.
Yeah, he's a great library if anybody needs to study on some wrestling.
Oh, yeah, ISIS is a treasure trove of information. No, okay. Sorry, I was just going through my notes. Now, since you got into wrestling, how old were you when you got into wrestling?
I think around like 6 or 7.
Okay, so you were actually still fairly young. So yeah. At what point are you like, okay, I want to be a wrestler?
I remember like when I was young, it was always like, you know, it's everybody's dream to like be a wrestler, you know, and it, like, yeah. At some point becomes like, is it a real thing or is it not? And I've always thought about it and I've always watched wrestling growing up. And then around like when I graduated high school, I was like, I think it's okay for me to like try it and attempt to see if I can do it. If not, at least I can say I tried.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that was like kind of my thing. And that was in like 2018. So yeah.
Now, when it came to picking a school, like how were you introduced to the Springgate school?
Mm. Yeah. So I knew about the Springgate school before I even like IOPW. I knew about it before I even started training there because I was looking around to see where I could possibly wrestle. And I'm like my hometown's Utica, New York. So Syracuse was the closest option.
Yeah.
And I didn't know anybody, like I didn't know anybody going into the school or anything. So I just kind of just like went on a whim and just went.
And it's definitely, when it comes to talent, especially the talent that has recently come out of there and people still train now, it's one of my favorite schools to go to. It's one I guess I can honestly say I can rely on as a promoter to always, you know, just reach out and see, you know, who Isis and Mike are recommending.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a great place that you were just geographically close enough to wind up.
Right. Yeah.
And how would you explain that training? Because I can only imagine what it's like training underneath Zachary Springgate and Isis FX and Skyros.
So, everybody there is helpful. But Springgate and Isis are like, I would say, our head trainers. Springgate is usually on Tuesdays, Isis on Thursdays. So you get a different style from both of them, and you get to learn a lot from picking their brains and just what they have to like offer. We do a lot of footwork and cardio, and then we also get in the ring and get some stuff done. The training, I think, is coming back from like COVID and everything. It's been a lot to like get back to used to and get back into ring work, like the ring shape. But it's been, I'd say it's pretty good. Like, I don't know. I'm not going to try to, like, I've never been to other schools, but I think that our school definitely keeps you well-rounded.
Yeah, and I
think that's what I was trying to get to.
Oh, no, and I totally understand because, you know, as we were saying earlier, I mean, all of the trainers there are very experienced and established wrestlers. I mean, Isis has been wrestling since I was in middle school, so he's probably been wrestling most of the time you were alive.
Right, yeah.
And Springgate was wrestling forever. Skyros now is becoming incredibly well-traveled throughout the Northeast. Mm-hmm. So I can't, you know, imagine better places in the area to necessarily go to besides like Flower City, but that's Rochester's different than Syracuse as far as.
Yeah. Yeah. I've not been out there, actually. I've been to Grapplers before, and I've trained with those guys, and that's a pretty awesome school as well. But
oh, yeah. Mikey Every Night is a person I've known since I was 17, so I can't say enough great things about that school in Buffalo and the amazing talent that they put out on a constant basis. It's insane. And they had a guy in the hot dog eating contest.
Yes, they do.
He ate 27 hot dogs and buns, man. Can you imagine doing that in 10 minutes?
Wait, really? I didn't know it was that many. I know he did it, but I didn't know it was that many.
Yeah. Megabyte Ronnie came in 11th place, which was 27 hot dogs and buns in 10 minutes.
Holy crap. Like, jeez.
Yeah. He's a dude I'd love to meet and just want to know what that experience is like. Forget wrestling. Please talk to me about the July 4th hot dog eating contest. Now, how long were you training before your first match?
I started training in April of 2018, and I had my first match at NYCW in May of 2019.
Okay.
I'm getting the timeline correct.
It's somewhere around there, because I was trying to look it up earlier. Yeah. So you had a full 11 months before you stepped in a ring.
Yes.
How nerve-wracking was that first time?
Oh, horrible. I didn't have ring gear, so I wore jeans to the ring, because my name was Denim, so I was like, I'm going to go with it. And I had, like, these stretchy jeans, so that was, like, something that came out, like, off the top of my head. And just the idea of being in front of a crowd versus just training was really nerve-wracking.
Oh, I bet. And would you say you're a naturally shy person, or are you kind of an extrovert?
I think that I present myself as an extrovert, but, like, inside, I'm, like, dying. I like to present it that I'm not dying and everything. People think I'm okay, but then I'm, like, internally, like, overthinking it and, like, really shy about it.
Oh, and in wrestling, that's terrible, because if you're overthinking, especially at that beginning, then you're just kind of leading yourself into a potential chance to mess things up.
Right. It was a good thing my first match was a Rumble, right?
I mean, that definitely helps, because I feel like a lot of people's first matches should be in scenarios like that, or like maybe a Trios or a Tomiko's, like something where there's a lot of people, because the more people that there are around you or in the ring with you, the less there is a chance for people to notice if you kind of slip up somewhere. And it helps with people being able to kind of guide you through where you need to be.
Right. And it also just gets you an opportunity to be out in front of the crowd, but not overexpose yourself at such a green state.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Which is why I kind of have always been a fan of, you know, greener talents, you know, being in stables or tag teams, because it can really help you along at a time where you kind of need that guidance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, when you first, you know, were breaking out in May of 2019, did you have, like, a goal that you set?
I know. When I first started wrestling, my goal was just to, like, get in the ring and attempt it and have a first match and, like, see how that goes. And then when that all happened, it kind of, like, rewired and was like, okay, like, what else do you have to look forward to now? And it's like, I'm kind of, like, going with where life is taking me rather than being like, oh, I'm going to try to make it here or make it there. Because setting deadlines for yourself like that, I think, is mentally exhausting and draining in some way.
Oh, it can be, yeah.
Yeah, but having a goal in mind, saying that you want to get somewhere, is, I think, good, though, as well.
Yeah, and I mean, it's definitely something where you want to have dreams and ambitions, but you also don't want to put timelines on them in the sense that everybody grows at a different rate.
Right.
So for some people, it's going to take them longer to get to certain points than others, which doesn't mean that anyone's road is right or wrong. It's just that's their road.
But also in 2019, I couldn't predict that there was going to be a pandemic that we were going to go through. So anything I had set for myself was kind of changed after that as well.
Yeah. And yeah, I feel like it's also worst possible timing too. Because like right when you're probably starting to get a little bit comfortable, the world shuts down.
Yeah, that was true. Because I remember in March of 2020, I was just picking up steam with like Adam at TIW, and then like doing stuff at NYCW, and then all of a sudden it just like not there anymore.
Yeah. I can't imagine. What was your first booking back after COVID?
My first booking. It might have been the Heartstrong show.
Was it?
Like in front of a crowd? I believe so.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, so I was incredibly nervous for that one, too, but
I'm not sure if you know the story behind the name, but I find it funny when people just say Heartstrong and not Heartstrong Gumi, because I'm Heartstrong.
Yeah. Yeah. So I just always shortened it down by saying that.
Yeah, I feel like I should just make the initials HSG, because that's probably way easier to say than just the super long Japanese name.
Yeah.
But that was something I was, you know, super happy to have you a part of. And I'm just really happy that it worked out to have you on.
Oh, yeah, it was an awesome show. And I thank you for letting me be on that. That was awesome.
Yeah, and you don't have to, like, kind of, like, gaslight me on anything. So don't feel like that. Tell me the truth. But it was just one of those moments where I was so thoroughly impressed and, you know, kind of, you know, peeking behind the curtain to the point where when you spill out in front of me, I literally have to lean down so kind of no one can hear me and tell you how awesome you are and how great I thought you were doing.
I thought it was like a fan or something. So I turned around and I saw you and you said that. I was like, oh, okay, thank you. I was like, that's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, because it's one of those things where, you know, I've seen videos of you. I've watched your NYCW stuff. I saw your TIW stuff. But then to just see it in person, it was like, you know, denim's really growing at a great rate.
I think also the stuff that I've done at NYCW and TIW, while I've enjoyed it, I've not gotten to show, like, a full type of potential through them. So I think that a lot of people, like, when they watch, if they watch stuff like that, they think they see, like, that's pretty much what I can do. But I think I have a lot more to, like, showcase. And that's why I'm excited to get, like, more bookings now and, like, start picking up on things now.
Yeah, I definitely get that, man. And when you, to kind of rewind a little bit, when you were first, you know, busting through these doors, who were some of the people that were really, like, close to you and helpful as you're trying to chase this dream?
I mean, besides, like, Springate and Isis, we were my trainers, obviously. We had people like Mike Skyros, Jacoby, and there was, like, Kevin. Those were the guys that when I came into IOPW in Syracuse, they were the guys that kind of took me under their wing, and, like, they showed us the ropes when Isis and Springate weren't able to be there, and they were helping us out with getting on the road and getting places. So I give them a lot of, like, props for pushing us, because I know they were, from the way that the school graduates students, I think they were, but there was, like, a big gap between them and then the next people that came in, which was, like, me and Adam and Corey and a bunch of other people. And they really wanted to see us succeed, and they really did help us. And I do give them, like, I don't tell them, but I give them a lot of props for helping me out in my little short-term career so far.
But, and that's one of the great things that I've kind of learned about the IOPW, like, school, is that it's a very tight-knit, you know, group of people, which I just love schools that are like that, where, you know, people really care about all the other people around them and want to see them succeed and do well.
Yeah. Like, we're accepting of anybody that comes, that steps in those doors, steps in that, in those, in the ring, runs the ropes, tries it. We're very, like, open to, like, pushing people and wanting them to succeed in our school, which I can appreciate so much, because I know if it wasn't for that type of, like, mentality at the school, I probably wouldn't have stayed, just because it's a lot to try to learn how to be a professor. It's a lot.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
And, I mean, and it has to be, you know, a complete 180 from some of the aspects that Springate and Isis had when they started training.
Right.
Because, I mean, I can only imagine what some of these schools were like in the 90s, you know, before kind of like the big indie boom.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Where, you know, it was still kind of like, oh, you bring the new kids in and kick the dog shit out of him and see who's willing to come back next week.
Right.
Which I'm glad, I mean, there's still schools that do that, which is terrible, but I'm glad that we're getting farther away from that.
I was like, wrestling, just like everything else, has evolved over time, and I think that things are in a positive way, but some things can be in a negative way. It all depends on how you look at it.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong, every, how do I put this, it's like, it doesn't matter what your hobby is or what your interest is or things you love, there's always going to be, you know, good guys, bad guys, people who are, you know, two-faced and things like that, but I'd like to think the majority of the wrestling community, at least around us, is full of decent people.
Yeah. And so far, that's what it's been for. It's been pretty decent, people for the most part, yeah.
Which I'm glad, because usually when it blows up that somebody, you know, was some terrible dude behind the scenes and you don't know about it, it's a shitty feeling.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, when you were, you know, first getting out there and, you know, kind of just, like, trying to get used to things, would you say you had some, like, immediate challenges?
Yeah, like, going back to, like, what you said earlier about, the introverted-extroverted thing, I think that a lot of what I want to do or how I want to be perceived is what, like, holds me back, is because I just don't let loose in the ring sometimes. And I think that's still something that's a challenge I face now, is just, like, being in front of the fans, it's like hard to for me to open up and just, like, let loose and, like, not be a deer in headlights sometimes.
So you're still kind of finding trouble just letting go of things.
Yeah.
Which I get. And that was something that kind of was a little similar for me. And that, I mean, I had nerves every single time. There wasn't a time I didn't have butterflies. And it's just... go ahead.
Sorry. I think in going to, like, now going back on shows and things like that, I think it's helping and it's, like, working a lot better in my favor now. But it's still something that I've struggled since the beginning, even to now.
And I think that's a normal thing too. And I mean, you've been in a scenario too where I don't think like you've had to do a lot of promo work, which,
right? Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. You come from a school where there's a lot of guys who are fantastic promos. So I'm sure, and you have a natural charisma about you. It does show. So don't think you don't. So I'm sure as time goes on and you develop more into what you want, it's definitely going to shine.
Right, and I think that I do see it. I do see it in myself, and I do see it growing and everything. It's the patience in that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, think about it. You started in 2019 in, like, the middle of the year, but you also had that huge gap from, what was your last match, like February or March of 2020?
Yeah.
And then you didn't have one again until June of 2021.
Yeah.
So it was
a big gap.
it's a big, you know, that's disheartening for a lot of people. And it kind of shows in a sense that despite someone reading, 2019 to 2021, you really don't have that much ring time.
I would still consider myself very green. As much as I've been in, like, consistent on, like, some shows and everything, I would still consider myself very much, like, a green wrestler, even though I'm learning from people that have decades of experience and things like that. I just think that you're always going to learn in the ring. It doesn't matter, like, how far you get.
And I think that's fair, because you've probably had less than 20 matches, right?
I'd say about, yeah.
So, it's definitely a learning game.
Mm-hmm.
And something you've been in a lot of, at least from what I've noticed or what I've seen, is you've been in a lot of tag matches in your short career. What would you say is the biggest difference between working a tag match and working a singles match when it comes to you?
I'd say, well, in a tag match, you're dependent on somebody else as well. Rather than just thinking on your own, sometimes you have to think for somebody else as well. So it's kind of like a 2-for-1, I guess you could say, when you're trying to put it all together and everything. I don't mind being in tag matches, though. A lot of people will complain about, like, they're getting stuck in tag matches. I don't mind it because it gives you more opportunity to work with like people you don't normally work with, and also work like stuff you wouldn't normally see.
Yeah,
if that makes any sense.
No, it does. And I feel like one of the things that probably has to have been maybe slightly difficult for you is that you haven't really had many consistent tag partners. You've been tagged up with a few different people.
It was just something else.
But, I mean, it doesn't mean that there hasn't been chemistry between some of them. I mean, you and Adam did well. You and Vakula is actually a pretty good pairing for people that I probably wouldn't have initially thought would work well together. Oh, did I lose him?
Hello.
Hey, you there?
Yes, I am. Sorry about that. I don't know what just happened.
Yeah, me either. Did you hear anything of what I said?
I think from what I said, I don't think so.
Okay.
Sorry.
It's all right, man. Shit happens. I was just saying that, you know, you've had, you know, various tag partners. and that, you know, it doesn't mean that there hasn't been some, like, chemistry between them. Like, I liked how the pairing of you and Adam and you and Vakula team really well together for a team that I would not have expected you two to pair up well.
Yeah. Adam has so far been my favorite tag partner. I'm going to put him over on this podcast, even though he buried me when he was on yours, but it's all right. But yeah, so working with Adam has been like a pleasure because we both started at the same time, so we got to grow as wrestlers together, but we also come from Utica and drive to Syracuse, so we've gotten to have that bond, like, in the car rides and gotten to talk about stuff and tag team moves and just go over things together, which is awesome. I like tagging with Vakula. It's just that we got thrown together and we don't get to train together, so it's hard to think of what we can do as a tag team when we're not like based together.
Yeah, and I could definitely say it because you also are geographically farther apart. And mm-hmm. and a big thing about, you know, being a successful tag team is being on the same page.
Right.
But you two managed to pull it off well, if that's any consolation.
Yeah.
And throughout your short career so far, what would you say have been some of your most rewarding experiences?
I think besides I'll get to the wrestling, but like, I think that the best part about traveling and wrestling is the memories that you can make on the road with the guys.
Yes.
And everything. I think that just, it sticks out compared to any other match that I've ever had. Like just the long rides from like to Rhode Island back home and things like that. It's just creating those memories at rest stops or in the car, like jamming out to wrestling music and stuff like that. It's like, it makes up more than sometimes a match that I'm not happy with that night. But
yeah, I'm totally with you, man. It's just, while everybody just kind of, from a fan perspective, sees all the stuff that happens, you know, in the ring or on the camera, they kind of don't understand all the things that come along with being within the community.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just so many great memories you can have. And, you know, those times where you laugh so hard you can't breathe and mm-hmm. things like that really make everything worth it. They make those long, terrible all-night drives, you know,
yeah,
something you kind of look forward to.
And like our school, like all of our guys, like I think since I've started, we've become such a like tight-knit community, and like we have like insiders that like we would just joke around with at training, and then we like bring them up at shows. Like we'll tell, like at this recent show, Corey was in that triple threat match and the ring broke, and he's like, our ring actually broke one time, so I said, geez, Corey, like, you're breaking two rings now. Like, it's just, like, things, it's just, like, having, being able to, like, relate with people and have humor, and, like, I don't know, it's just, like, it's nice.
It is, and it builds, like, a family away from your family.
Right, yeah.
And, I mean, and it's not like you haven't gotten, you know, exposure in other areas. I mean, didn't you get, like, an article written about you in a paper, too?
Yeah, so, like, over the pandemic, they were highlighting, like, athletes from the area back home at Utica, and I was asked to do it, and I honestly was shocked, to be honest. I didn't know if I was going to get asked to or not, but yeah, they did a little article on me in, like, the sports section.
Which is a cool thing to be highlighted, you know, as this local wrestler with the, you know, the name some people probably can't believe.
Right, yeah, and then once I, like, posted about that and everything, the people came out of the woodwork and were like congratulating me, which is kind of funny. So
oh yeah, you love when that happens, huh?
Right, yeah.
But I mean, it's definitely cool to be highlighted in multiple different ways and to kind of know that, you know, your hometown is cheering for you.
Yeah, it definitely feels good to know that, like, there's like some, what am I trying, I'm trying to like think of the words to say for this, like, to know that, like, your hometown, like, knows that you're, like, representing them and things like that. I like that, because then, not the sense of, like, a hometown hero type feel, because I'm not that at NYCW at all, that's all Adam, but, I just like the idea of knowing, like, I'm representing a place that I grew up in and learned a lot. Yeah. Hopefully can like bring with me to places. I don't know if that made any sense.
It does. And I mean, and depending on where you live in New York, like out here where I'm from, which is, you know, I'm from, shit. I don't know how much you know about things east of you, but, do you know Johnstown, Amsterdam, Gloversville? That shit.
Yeah, I live in Albany right now, so this is yeah, I know about those. I drive by those all the time.
Oh yeah, so then you know where I live.
Yeah.
So the stigma over or in this part is that Utica's a dirty, shitty, scary city.
Which in some cases it can be, but
but to just kind of have that like positive outlook of like, no, you know, this is where I'm from. I appreciate this place, and to be viewed as, you know. You know, someone to kind of pay attention to within it is probably a big deal. Personally.
No, yeah, I'm honestly sarcastic. Like 90% of the time, I do love Utica. It's like it's my hometown, so it is always gonna have a special place in my heart. From like just being growing up there, I always say it's like the best place to grow up to because of like how cultured it is and how much you can learn just by I've lived there for 21 years of my life, and that was like a big like. Because now I can go into other cities and not have a big culture shock and be like so afraid of like what I'm going to see or what I'm going to hear or anything like that. Because I don't know, I just feel like Utica is such a good place to. Because it's a good city.
It's very diverse, and I really do appreciate that about it.
Yeah.
Also, Sunday, was that your first main event?
Yeah, I main evented like. A Rumble before. I've been like I did like a the Fenway Park show in August of 2019, and that was like a battle royal main event, but this was my first time like a tag team or like any type of match.
And you had tons of heat, so what was that feeling like?
I think that like even though I was in a tag team with Kula, that was like even this is the first NYCW show back post pandemic.
Yes,
quote unquote post pandemic, but you know, I didn't expect to, like, have that much of a reaction, if I'm being quite honest, because we were always not necessarily booked as, like, I don't want to say it, like, a jobber tag team. We weren't, because we were getting somewhere, we were doing things.
You were just low card.
Yeah, we were just weren't winning matches, let's just say that. So to get that type of heat with him was nice, because I think that That also let me like open up a little bit more and have more of a louder mouth with the fans.
You did, and you were reacting. And I was so happy to see you kind of showing off that personality and that charisma that you have.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really proud of you in that moment that you were really starting to kind of get it.
Mm-hmm.
And then he almost died, and I freaked out. But
oh, yeah, I'm still recovering from that, so we're doing good here.
I'm glad to hear you're still okay after landing on your neck.
Yeah. This gave me a Death Valley driver in my head.
I don't even know. I wouldn't even say it was that. It was almost like a weird air raid crash you dropped.
Dropped right on my head. It's whatever. I kicked out. We're good.
That's right. And it's not like you go through the whole, you know, New Japan dojo 9 hours of neck bridging exercises a day.
Right.
Now, when it comes to the future, what are some of your goals?
Short-term goals and long-term goals. I'm gonna list some. So for some short-term goals, I definitely want to establish my name in the area that I'm already working in and like be a consecutive like name and face that people can like see and everything. But I also want to expand upon that and travel. I want to go more in the Northeast, but I also want to travel out like. Down a little bit down south and out west, but long term, everybody has a long term goal in wrestling. If you're not wrestling, you're not wrestling just to wrestle. Everybody wants it to go somewhere at some point. But I would love to like get signed by some place, hopefully down the line, if they see something in me, you know.
Yeah,
I feel like everybody has that type of goal in wrestling and in the back of their mind, and I can admit that.
Oh yeah, I mean, even when I was wrestling, my long term goal. Was I wanted to go to All Japan. That was what I wanted.
Yeah.
Was to be on, say that, okay, I was in the same promotion that my idols were in.
Right, right.
Doesn't mean it happened, but I hope yours happens.
Right, yeah. And I've thought about this recently. I've just recently started getting into more like outside of the US wrestling. So I was always thinking about like moving out to like Japan or Mexico and like wrestling out there. But like that's honestly just like a thing that I've thought about. I've not committed to it yet, yeah. But that's also something that I've thought about, learning different styles of wrestling and just being well-rounded in my craft.
Yeah, and I feel like that's important to definitely be able to do a little bit of everything. Because then if you can do a little bit of everything, then whoever you run into along the way, oh, what can you do? Oh, okay, I can do some of that, so I can make that work with you. And, you know, you can play to their strengths, and then they can do stuff to play to yours.
Right, yeah, and that's definitely like a long-term thing I have with wrestling as a goal, is just to be able to be a really well-rounded individual that I could just adapt to any situation that's thrown at me and not land on my head, hopefully.
Yeah, but sometimes, I mean, that just happens. There's not much you can do to stop that.
Yeah.
All right, man, that's all I had for the wrestling questions. So you know what's next, right?
Maybe.
The random questions.
Yes, the random questions.
All right. Are you ready? Are you prepared?
I am.
Okay, everyone gets asked this one. Now that shows are back and I show up at them, I sometimes get ridiculed for this. But which one are you picking? Grape or strawberry jelly?
Ooh. I'm going to say strawberry. I'm not a huge like grape flavor fan. I'm probably going to get heat for that too, but like I do prefer strawberry.
Yeah, not cool, man. I'm grape jelly gang for life.
It's cool. I can put up with that.
Is Utica Club for you?
I'm going to be completely honest, I've never had it. I've never had, like, I've had one beer I've ever tried in my life, and that's Bud Light. I've never had. Like,
that's Utica the Club. Worst one you could start with.
Right, exactly, right? And I was like, yep, this is it. And in being friends with Adam, you think I would, like, try different types of beers, right? At, like, 16 soda? Yeah, you think I would, but no, I've never been, like, a beer person. It just doesn't, I don't know.
I did not acquire my taste for beer till like my early mid 20s, so it took me a while.
I was gonna say I'm gay, so I stereotypically go towards like vodkas or seltzers.
I feel like that might just also come genetically from your parents.
True. Yeah. The vodka. Yeah.
Oh, all right then. If we're doing seltzers, I need to know White Claw or Truly.
White Claw is the original, but I do prefer Truly.
You're breaking my heart today, Denim.
I know, I'm like the opposite.
All right, so this one, why is mint and chocolate such an amazing combination?
Did you like know that I despise mint and chocolate?
Oh yeah, I know, that's why we're going to talk about this.
Okay. I don't understand the idea of mint and chocolate together. I just never did. I never will. I don't think.
It's so good. How can you hate it?
So when people tell me it's their favorite flavor, like I just don't. I'm out of everything that's possible. You're gonna like mint. Mint, I think instantly of toothpaste. And toothpaste is good, but I don't think of toothpaste with my desserts. Mint. Yes, I understand. There, people will give me spiels about this, and I completely understand. But it will never be my thing.
All right. What is the number one animal that scares you to death?
Ooh. Oh, wow. I think, like, as innocent as they can be, like, household cats are so scary. I love cats, like, don't get me wrong, but, like, once you're on their bad side or once they're pissed off, you're done.
Yeah, it's like, over. It is over.
There's definitely others, scarier animals in the world, but like I'm thinking like personally, like what I'm around.
All right, man, and the last one, it is the standard bearer of the show, probably the most important one. What's the creepiest basement you've ever been in and why?
Oh, I went to a big party school for college, and there's like some frats around here that have like scary basements. just because, not because of like the way they like, not just because of the setting, but just like frat people are just frat boys can be nasty.
I can only imagine, dude. Like you've seen enough terrible movies to kind of make you think what they do to those poor people.
Right, and I'm a big horror movie fan, but their horror movie basements are not as bad as frat basements.
Wow. What's your favorite horror movie? I'm asking these out of order, but now I just want to know.
No, you're good. I'm trying to think. My favorite horror movie, when it comes to like slashers, it's probably like Friday the 13th Part 4. It's really specific, but
it is, and I feel like I'm laughing in my head cuz I think I've only made it to Part 3. But
right.
Me and my friend Salsa, which I'm pretty sure he listens, so this will be our final discussion, is that with the way Jason is, all right, wouldn't you be able to know he's coming? First off, if you're that waterlogged, those boots are sloshing. There's no way you're not making some type of weird, squeaky noise at some point. And two, if he is this, like, dead dude, you know, underwater, all the other scenarios, you can't tell me that there wouldn't be a stank associated with that man.
Oh, right, true. And also, he's ginormous. So, like, I'm like pretty aware of my senses usually. Like, I would notice that kind of man walking towards me before anything else.
And so, and my friend Salsa is also, I don't know if he said he watched all the Friday the 13th, but he watched enough to notice that if there's any bathroom scene, no one's wiping.
Probably true as well.
To which we've also joked, like, why? Does anyone just in that moment in real life just kind of spring up and be like, no, I'm not taking care of this? it's definitely something that me and him have talked about and laughed at, so I had to share that with you.
No, that honestly, now that you say that, I'm going to notice it every single time.
Oh, yeah, there's no way you won't. And we used to joke all the time about, you know, the boots. There's no way when he's walking, it's not. Oh,
right? And you're and you would notice that, like, instantly.
Oh, yeah. Or somebody's just going, what the hell is that smell? Like, wet dog and moths.
Right.
Well, that's all I got, man. You want to plug social medias?
My social media for Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat is at Total Denim. And you can find me on Facebook at Denim Kovic. But that's, I think that's all the social media. And TikTok as well, it's Total Denim if you want to. I do have a viral TikTok out there, guys.
You do?
So, I do, and it has nothing to do with wrestling. So, I mean,
you never, just never told me that.
Yeah, it's literally me throwing a piece, like a big block of ice at my friend, and she catches it and just drops it, and it shatters. Oh. And it's just like such a sudden ending to the video that I think people need to rewatch it. So it went viral. I mean,
that'll do it.
I'm a one hit wonder on TikTok, I guess.
Merch or no, not yet.
Not yet, but I want merch soon. You know, I was just talking about this on Sunday too. I was like, will people buy my merch because they hate me so much at NYCW or not?
Oh, that's a good question. I mean, I don't know. I'm sure someone will.
But relatively soon, I hope. Fingers crossed.
And will you ever get all denim gear?
I used to wear all denim, so I think I've tapped out the idea, but I will wear the jacket.
Okay. I get very upset whenever I see you when you're not in like some type of Canadian tuxedo.
I mean, I thought about it, but then I did get the Orange Cassidy comments from the crowd.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I get that. I do get that.
So I was like, maybe this isn't the thing for me.
Yeah, true.
Even though it was my name first.
Yeah, literally, you were born with this. All right, man. Again, thank you so much. Thanks for hanging out with me and just talking and telling your story. So,
yeah, thank you for having me on here. This is my first. So you just took my podcast virginity.
Okay.
Thank you.
Fair. You're welcome. And without giving too much away, you will be back in October for the next Heartstrong Gumi show.
I will.
And yes. That will be exciting stuff.
Yes, I'm excited for it as well.
All right, man. Take care. Stay safe. school still on for you?
I just graduated. I am a bachelor, I guess you could say. I have a bachelor's. Yeah, I'm done with school for right now.
Oh, well, proud of you.
Thank you.
At least you have something to fall back on now.
Right, definitely.
Well, then stay safe, have fun. I hope you don't hate your job as much as I do. And I'm sure I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thank you so much again.
Take it easy, brother.
You too.
All right, everybody. That was Denim Kovic again. Just a young wrestler with so much talent, and he's going to do so many great things. And I'm really happy to have him a part of the Heartstrong Gumi roster. I definitely feel like he's someone that you'll see grow on those shows and just in the future where he wrestles regularly, like New York Championship Wrestling and Truly Independent Wrestling. He does have matches on YouTube. They're pretty easy to find. Probably just search the name or just check the NYCW and TIW pages. The Heartstrong Gumi show is up on YouTube through Don Kincaid. And again, thank you to him for recording that and putting that up, as you know, I've hit some snags in life that haven't given me a chance to kind of go through the footage yet. But again, you know where to follow me, Instagram and Facebook. It is Alone in the Basement. Twitter is AITB Podcast. But yeah, I don't really know what else. Hope people keep tuning in as we're getting back into the groove. And I'll be back next Wednesday, because now I guess this is the new night. Oh, and in case for some reason this airs later, I hope you all watched Nick Gage on AEW. Just an amazing moment to see. As I'm saying this, the show hasn't even started, so I don't know what's going to happen. But it's just awesome to know that that he's going to be on tonight. National TV, highly profiled match, and to see him in a role like this, because I'm a big Nick Gage fan. I know a lot of people want to shit on him, but that's not my prerogative. He's an awesome dude. When I met him, I was nervous, I'm not gonna lie, and because I just wanted to take a picture with him, and he was the nicest dude. He genuinely and truly loves his fans, his gang members, and I think he would do anything for them. So I hope that this is tonight is the start of some big time success for a man who truly deserves it. All right, that's all I got. All right, guys, take it easy. You guys all stay safe, and I love all of you, and I appreciate every single person who listens and does what they do for me. So love you guys. See you next week.